ABC presents My Word. And here to introduce the program and the panel is Jack Longland.
My Word is a word game played by people whose business is words. In this special Christmas edition, which comes from the Nurses' Recreation Hall at St. Peter's Hospital, Chertsey, near London, you'll hear Nancy Spain, Dillis Powell, Dennis Norden, and Frank Muir. And for a change, we're going to start with a round without any marks, and this is just for fun, to test the ingenuity of the two teams. Each of the members of the two teams has got a cracker, a Christmas cracker, which I want them to pull. And, wait a bit, and inside each, I hope they'll find a motto. We'd carefully put the mottos in a bit earlier, so I think they're there. But only the first two lines of the motto is inside the cracker. And as everybody knows, Christmas cracker mottos normally have four lines. So I want the members of the two teams to compose the two missing lines which aren't there. Now, if you will pull your crackers... That's a bad one.
Awful
cracker. Oh, good. That's
mine.
That's your funny hat on. What about the funny hat?
I've got some funny teeth. Can we keep them, Jack?
Yes, you can keep them.
Can we keep the treasures?
They have to be returned to the BBC for next year.
Can't it?
All right, now I'm going to ask Dillis Powell to read out the motto, if she will. The first line.
Mine says, Christmas fare is rich and good, lots of turkey, lots of pud.
That's all right, that's a good start. Dennis Norden, yours.
As the snow lay crisp and deep, all the kids lay fast asleep.
Yes, I can imagine what that may give rise to. Nancy Spain.
Coming home on Christmas Eve, father's steps began to weave.
And now, Frank Muir.
Christmas games are oh so jolly, neath the mistletoe and the holly.
Well, after this diversion, we'll now go straight on to round one, which tests the vocabulary of the two teams. Two marks if they get the meaning of the following words approximately right. Beginning with Dillis Powell. Dillis, what is a veil? V-A-I-L, or it's more often in plural, veils. V-A-I-L-S.
Veils. Something rather sad.
No, it isn't.
Something rather jolly.
Last time you stayed in Windsor Castle.
Which I do frequently, yes.
What did you do just before you left?
We drew a veil over there.
I left a tip for somebody.
That's it.
Right. It's a tip?
Yes.
You didn't.
Well, I think I gave you a bit of help there, Dillis. I'm going to give you 1.5 marks out of 2. It's a gift or gratuity, usually given to servants by guests who've been staying in your house for a weekend or something like this. Or it could be a present given for corrupt purposes, but you wouldn't ever do that.
No, no.
Dennis Norden, what is a Nixie? N-I-X-I-E. A Nixie.
Well, it sounds like a sort of negative pixie. It's a pixie who's just this moment vanished. Leaving a kind of miasma, which is a Nixie.
Well, like a new song.
Yes. It's where a Nixie pixie was.
Leaving her trousers.
Just change your sex.
I like the carefree way you say, just change your sex. I'm afraid you've got entirely the wrong hospital. Well, it's a male pixie.
All right, I'll give you one for calling it a pixie. It's a female water sprite or water elf. A male water elf is a Nix and not a Nixie, and a pixie is a small elf of sex indeterminate. I'm not certain about that one. Ondine, for instance, was a female water sprite. Nancy Spain, the meaning of the word mafic, M-A-F-F-I-C-K, mafic.
Well, I suppose it's tearing around and hindering traffic.
Yes, why?
Because of Mafeking Night.
What was that?
Well, a long time ago, Jack, before you were born...
That's quite true.
The Boer War was raging, and they had the relief of Mafeking, and everybody was very pleased, and they rushed into all the theatres in London, which at that time were open, and they shouted out, Mafeking has been relieved!
Quite right.
And everybody was very relieved and pleased, and they ran about all over the streets.
That's it.
Waving flags and...
That's it. You couldn't be brighter. That's absolutely right, Nancy. It means to celebrate something extravagantly, as the populace of London and elsewhere celebrated the relief of Mafeking in the Boer War. Thank you. What is algidity?
Algidity. It's anything to do with frigidity.
Anything
with... with frigidity.
Yes, it could be. There is a sort of possible connection here, I think.
Well, it's frigidity.
Yes.
And it's not as cold.
Yes.
As though you were in the fridge. You're just left standing in the... Oh. algidity, that's all it is. Well, it's a state of cool.
Frank's quite right. It's what happens during a white Christmas, the state of being thoroughly cold. 2 marks, Frank. Well done. Well, before we start round 2, I give each team a quotation for them to write down, and I want the 2 women members of the team to study their quotations, and at the end of the programme, I shall ask them for the source from which those quotations come. So, Nancy Spain with Dennis Norton. Your quotation is, joys like beauty are but skin deep. And Dillis Powell and Frank Muir, your quotation is, she walks in beauty like the night. And then at the end of the programme, I shall ask Dennis and Frank to give me their ideas of how these words came to be said or written, and I don't want any of these answers yet. And so, round 2. At Christmas time, apart from pantomimes, theatres tend to put on certain shows which are brought out and dusted and presented every year with remorseless regularity. For 2 marks, with what traditional shows do you associate the following authors? For example, just as you associate Peter Pan with James Barry. So Dillis Powell first, and here's the author, Brandon Thomas.
Charlie's Aunt.
Charlie's Aunt it is, 2 marks, well done. Dennis Norton, Enid Blyton.
Noddy and son of Noddy and...
Noddy
Unchained.
I don't think Noddy has ever allowed any sons. Noddy in something or other. Dennis.
Noddy in trouble. Noddy in despair. Noddy goes to pieces. Noddy in Toyland.
Noddy in Toyland it is. Enid Blyton. And Nancy Spain, Kenneth Graham.
The Wind in the Willows, yes, otherwise known as Toad of Toad Hall.
Quite right, Toad of Toad Hall, play adapted from Kenneth Graham's book, The Wind in the Willows. Now, Frank Muir.
Lyman Frank Baum.
He wrote a book called The Wizard of Oz.
And the play has the same title?
Play is a play. It's a film called The Wizard of Oz. When I was young, I thought it was a man who could make roll 50 cigarettes out of an ounce of tobacco. All right. Yes, it's a musical thing called The Wizard of Oz.
All right, the play is called The Wizard of Oz, and it comes from the book written by Lyman Frank Baum, which had the title The Wonderful Wizard of Oz. Yes, that's the difference. Well, the next round concerns verses, or possibly poetry, and in this round I shall give each member of each team a quotation and ask them the following line or lines. 2 marks if they can finish off the quotation, possibly an extra mark for ingenuity or for rendering. Beginning with Dillis Powell, to complete, if you will, Dillis, come landlord, fill the flowing bowl until it doth run over.
The next 2 lines I'll say.
Yes, but I want you 2 more beyond that.
Oh,
that's too simple.
4 lines. For tonight for Merry Merry Meg, and tomorrow. Tomorrow will be...
Twice, you say it twice.
Oh, yes, quite right, yes. Everything comes twice. Tomorrow will be sober.
We didn't speak that with any conviction, did we?
All right, that's good enough. Two marks, and that comes from the Oxford Songbook. And now, Dennis Norton, good night, ladies. Good night, ladies.
Good night, ladies. You want me to sing this?
I want you to go on, too, if you will, and sing, please. Okay.
I don't generally sing without my group.
Be your group.
If you'll be the group,
the audience be the group.
Good night, ladies. I'll give you a count of four. Four. Good night, ladies. Good night, ladies. Good night, ladies.
Until it does.
We're going to leave you now. Merrily we roll along, roll along, roll along. Merrily we roll along. Across the deep blue sea. I must point out the high-pitched voice was Nancy's, particularly in view of certain comments made earlier.
Well, one extra mark for Dennis, making three, and one in the jackpot for the audience. Mm-hmm. And now Nancy Spain. God bless the master of this house, likewise the mistress too, and all the little children that round the table grow. Or go. Some say one, some say the other.
But you've done it all.
No, I haven't. I want some more.
I don't think it'll get in the charts.
No. No.
We'll give it fine.
I never heard this.
That's all I know of it.
Nancy, it's no good. As Lear said to Cordelia, nothing will come of nothing. So no more.
Charming. Charming.
God bless the master of this house, likewise the mistress too, and all the little children that round the table grow. Love and joy come to you, and to you your wassail too, and we wish you a happy new year, and we wish you a happy new year.
Well, why didn't you say it before? We could have got two marks.
You just don't love us, that's all.
All right, now Frank Muir. It was on a Monday morning when I beheld my darling. She looked so neat and charming in every high degree.
She looks so neat and charming. It really was disarming.
And dashing away with a smoothing iron, dashing away with a smoothing iron.
She stole my heart away.
She looked. She looks so neat and fancy, oh, ironing my pencil. She carried a smoothing iron. She stole my heart away. Yeah, yeah.
2.5 out of 3. It goes on. She looks so neat and charming in every high degree. She looks so neat and nimble, though, a washing of her linen, though, dashing away with a smoothing iron.
Mine rhyme.
Oh, yes. The Oxford Songbook doesn't worry about things like
mine
that.
Mine rhyme. It's not fair to be dumb.
Dashing away with a smoothing iron, she stole my heart away.
2.5. Rotten 2.5. Rhymed. I'm going to put my paper hat on.
And now for those cracker mottos. I want the members of the team in turn to complete the incomplete mottos that they pulled out of their crackers at the beginning. So starting with Dennis Powell, and hers began, Christmas fare is rich and good, lots of turkey, lots of pud.
But I think you should be scary if you're offered cassowary.
That's fair enough. Dennis Norton, as the snow lay crisp and deep, all the kids lay fast asleep.
I'll repeat that. As the snow lay crisp and deep, all the kids lay fast asleep. Mum was glum and Dad was glummer. You see, this was in the height of summer.
Now, Nancy Spain's motto, coming home on Christmas Eve, father's steps began to weave.
They heard him shouting on the roof, he'd got his weft right up his woof.
And finally, Frank Muir, Christmas games are oh so jolly, neath the mistletoe and the holly.
Come Boxing Day, no food and no beer, and a touch of Santa claustrophobia.
And now we come to the last round, and we go back to those two quotations I gave the teams earlier on in the programme. For 2 marks, Dilys Powell, can you give me the origin of your quotation, "She walks in beauty like the night"?
Byron.
Yes, in what, do you know?
A poem.
Yes, fair enough.
In rhyme, she asked.
Yes.
A painting.
Well, it's rather a short poem, which begins there.
Yes, it is. Yes, I think that's got it up, because in some books of Byron, it is titled "She Walks in Beauty Like the Night," but oddly enough, it comes from a larger selection called "Hebrew Melodies." Now, Nancy Faye, can I have the origin of your quotation, which was, "Joys like beauty are but skin deep"?
I don't know.
Well, I'm not the least surprised, Nancy, because it's a jolly difficult one. It was a chap called Philip James Bailey who wrote a tragedy, which was in fact performed, called Festus, which published in 1839, which was his English version of Faust. He was a great admirer of Goethe.
Very interesting.
Well, now I shall ask Frank and Dennis to give me their explanation of how these quotations came into being, and on this occasion the marks will go to whichever incredible explanation receives the longer amount of applause from the audience here. So back to Frank Muir. "She walks in beauty like the night."
She walks in beauty like the night. It's beautiful, isn't it? I very nearly didn't get married. A few days before the wedding, I discovered that my wife had got cold feet. It's no fun marrying somebody with cold feet. This was something of a trial in the first years of our marriage. For me, particularly, I overcame it eventually by a small device, which was an ordinary domestic hot plate strapped to the small of my back with surgical plaster. This worked quite well, really. It's rather painful in the mornings for me. Plugged into the plug on the side of the bed. But latterly I've been rather worried about my wife's cold feet, because she's got a job in this hospital, actually. She's assistant navigator on the library trolley, which comes round. She's hoping to be a pilot one day. She's studying, but she's passed her going round the bed exam, but she failed on going through the swing doors. At the moment, she's just assistant navigator. And, of course, it means her walking from Thorpe to St. Peter's Hospital here every Wednesday afternoon, and her legs get very cold, you see. I'm terribly worried about this. I tried one or two remedies to overcome it. I realised I'd have to encase the legs, really, lag them. But how to do it? And I thought of the success I'd had with strapping this hot plate onto the small of my back. So I got the element out of an electric blanket and wound it round my wife's legs and plugged it in to the light. And it worked extremely well, except one had to have an awfully long lead. I had about 200 or 300 yards, which enabled my wife to shop in the little bicycle shop on the other side of the road. But no further, otherwise she'd come unplugged. Then I got the hay rake, and by thrusting it that down the back of her dress with the top of the hay rake upwards, I reckoned I could get a sort of trolley bus system, you see, and put a contact on the top of that and run a power line from the house to St. Peter's Hospital, and my wife could walk along and be warm. I realise this is rather expensive, but if I got some other ladies who were making the journey, I could then sell them or rent them the equipment, and they could also travel. And I realised that this probably wouldn't work, but if this, my wife was going to Chertsey and met somebody coming from Chertsey to Thorpe, that means they'd have to carry one of those bamboo poles to hike the contact down. So that wasn't on. But I thought, think simpler about this. And I suddenly thought, an armour, that's it. So I went to the pub, and I knew he had a whole lot of pewter tankards with a glass bit cracked. And so I bought all these from him for 1 and 4, and I soldered them together to make 2 sort of drain pipes out of these pewter tankards, and slipped them on my wife's legs, just like the knight's armour. And then I filled them in, and we all filled it. We put granulated cork and old brick rubble and ashes and stuffed them down. You know, and they work wonderfully. They really do. Of course, if my wife comes round navigating the library trolley and you see her walking in a rather peculiar, stiff-legged manner, you know, don't mock. It is intentional. It's just that, as Byron said, she walks in pewter like the night.
Well, it's astonishing what Frank Miller's wife has to put up with. We'll pass on quickly to Dennis Norden, and if you remember, his quotation was, "Joys, like beauty, are but skin deep."
During this season of indiscriminate present giving, I want to tell you about a friend of mine called Herbert. Now, practically exactly 16 years ago, I was with Herbert, and his wife was expecting a baby any moment. And he said to me, "You know, if I have a son, when he's 16, I would like to give him a Christmas present which would be something very, very, very special. Something which he has never had before, he's never seen, and he doesn't even know exists." I said, "Well, such as what?" He said, "A banana." I said, "It's impossible." Now, as it happened, he had a son. Or rather, his wife had a son. Otherwise, the story would take on the trend that Jack was starting earlier. 16 years ago. And Herbert set to work. First thing he did was cleared all the bananas out of the house, cleared out all the pictures of bananas, all the references to bananas, all newspapers, books, magazines with anything to do with bananas in them, or any banana songs. That was when the baby was very small. When they took the baby out in a pram, they would avoid all greengrocers' shops. They wouldn't go anywhere near any of those hoardings which say, "Unzip a banana." When the child went to parties at other children's places, Herbert would ring up the parents and say, "Look, would you mind, but when my son's there, would you mind putting all the bananas away and not talking or referring to bananas in any way?" Which the other parents did. They're very good, other people you find with things like that. They don't say anything, they just take it and they do it. And they talk among themselves, of course, you know. So it's very funny about this chap Herbert, and his, you know, listen, there must have been some awful tragedy in his family connected with a banana. And they made very interesting speculations about what it was and so on. And then, of course, the child couldn't go to school. He had to have a tutor all through his childhood. They had to watch very closely his entertainments, of course. Couldn't watch television at all, because you get all sorts of references to bananas on television. And he succeeded. That was 16 years ago. That child never saw, heard, knew the existence of a banana. And this Christmas, he called the boy to the Christmas tree, and he said, "I've got your present." And he took down this little parcel, which was shaped like a thin baby's bottle or little bent airship. And he said, "Open it." And the boy opened it, and he said, "That's lovely. What is it?" And he said, "That is a banana." The boy looked at it and said, "The things they think of." He said, "Where do I wear it?" He said, "You don't wear it. You eat it. You eat this." He said, "Yes." He said, "This is what I've been striving for 16 years. You are now on the threshold of manhood. I'm going to give you an experience which is rare to any person at any time of life. That is enjoying a new sensual sensation, in your case, the taste of a banana, for the very first time when you are in full possession of all your powers. This is a particular joy, and it's my present to you." And little tears came in the son's eyes. He said, thanks, Dad. It was one of those sort of togetherness moments, which I rather lovely. And he said, go to your room, my son, and enjoy this joy, which it has been my pleasure to give you. And the boy went to his room, and he ate the banana. And you know where he is now? He is in this hospital with a very, very bad tummy ache. Well, you see, you put yourself in his position. If you'd never seen a banana and somebody gave it to you to eat, would you know? No, you see, nor did he. It is another proof of the quotation that joys, like beauty, are but skin deep.
Well, by your vote, Dennis Norden just wins in the contest between the two stories, and that brings us to a final score in which Dennis Powell and Frank Muir win by 1.5 marks from Nancy Spain and Dennis Norden, and this also brings to an end this edition of My Word.
In My Word, you heard Dillis Powell, Nancy Spain, Frank Muir, and Dennis Norden, introduced by Jack Longland. The program was devised by Tony Shryan and Edward J. Mason and presented by the BBC. Thank you.